The Lord be with you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The Gospel of Christ. Good morning, friends. It's been a week, both in my house and around North America. The mundane daily problems of bored kids and too many Zoom meetings sure do seem trivial in the face of all of the racially motivated attacks and rebellions, certainly in Minnesota, but also here in the Lower Mainland. And whether it's Black people facing down police violence, Asian people in Vancouver getting tripped or beaten up, or the continuing plight of Indigenous people who live on reserves with no access to amenities and services that the rest of us take for granted, our society has a lot to answer for. I wonder if you feel helpless or overwhelmed in the face of it all. We're celebrating Pentecost today, which means that we're again living into the time when Jesus fills us up with his breath and sends us out into the world to do his work among the people. After having been in lockdown for a couple of months, being sent out into this world that seems so full of anger and violence, to do the work of God feels a bit daunting. One of the things I'm going to have to be as I get sent out this time around is way more careful, both in terms of my health and others' health, but also in terms of how our society interacts with those who face prejudice every day. There will certainly be more cleaning of things, less touching, and less of some of my favorite things like singing, drinking a beer in a darkened bar, dropping in for tea at the care homes my church used to visit in person monthly. And I'm going to have to try to figure out how I can work for a world with less racism. I'm much more uncertain in my being sent out this time, much more tentative, and I confess to a certain feeling of bewilderment. There is a sense of being set free after these 2 months of lockdown, but being set free into a world where my freedom is shaped by new norms and unfamiliar regulations, and some urgent awareness of issues on which I have tended towards passivity. I mention freedom because the word forgive in the last verse of our gospel reading from John has more of a connotation of freedom than we might initially ascribe to the word freedom. In the Gospel of John, sin and forgiveness are really about those things that block us from a close or even intimate relationship with Jesus, and so with God, and the freedom to pursue that close and intimate relationship with God. If one is forgiven one's sins, then one is free to be holy. If one's sins are retained, then one is encumbered and cannot approach God to develop that deep relationship. That word retain has the sense of being tied or bound to one's sins, thus preventing being tied or bound to Jesus and to God. I'm curious about this formulation of freedom because North American culture in the US and in Canada thinks freedom means that one is not encumbered by the government. The smaller the government and the less it interferes in our daily life, we say, the less tax we have to pay, the more free we are and the better life is. In this formulation, the rules and regulations imposed by the government are an interference in our freedom. Having to wear a mask, for example, or having to avoid certain kinds of businesses or activities. Freedom in this sense is to be able to do whatever we want, whenever we want, however we want. We can see this formulation at work in conversations about free speech, which is not, by the way, a particularly Canadian value. Free speech, some might argue, means that I am free to say whatever I want, even if it's racist, even if it's transphobic, even if it hurts another person. And there are benefits to being able to say what you want. Any government worth its taxpayer-provided salt should be able to hear and engage with all kinds of criticism. But quote-unquote free speech, at least in Canada, crosses a line when it causes particular harm to people. This might seem like there is a limit on freedom, but others might argue that limits on free speech allow racial, cultural, sexual, or gender minorities to live lives free of hatred and oppression. And this is, of course, the freedom that Jesus is offering in the Gospel of John. Rather than being free of the authority of Jesus and God in the way that free speech advocates might want, Jesus invites us to infuse every part of our lives with his authority and with God's Spirit. Jesus asks us to receive the Holy Spirit into our very being. And this reception of the Spirit is meant to help us set our sins and the sins of others aside. By absorbing the power, the presence, the authority, the very essence of God into our bodies, but submitting ourselves to that, we are then able to let go of all the racism, the transphobia, the misogyny, the colonialism, all of these sins that prevent us from fully embracing the life that God offers and be free of them. They will encumber us no longer. The scales will fall from our eyes and we will have submitted to the freedom that God offers. Submitted to freedom. It feels like an oxymoron, but it's not. The Holy Spirit that is now inside all of us is intended to help us break the chains of sin that hold our beloved brothers and sisters, our beloved siblings, the beloved children of God, to break the chains of sin that bind them up so that they too bow to the freedom offered by Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And now in the world of the pandemic, we are called again to embody and live this kind of freedom. We may be free to go to the grocery store, but we are called to keep our beloved elders free from the chains of the virus that would bind them to their homes or to a ventilator. We may be free to go to the park or the beach, but we are called to keep our beloved siblings with Asian heritage free from racist and violent accusations of malevolence. We may be free to go and send our taxes into Revenue Canada with as many deductions as our accountants can help us find. But we are called to share our wealth with those who are too confused or too scared to go back to work so that they can be free of grinding poverty and anxiety. We may be free to send our kids back to school, but we are called to love and support all kinds of families so that they can be free from a sense of insecurity and alienation. We may be free to hike all over provincial and national parks, but we are called to uphold and support our Indigenous family so that they can be free of the great weight that colonialism has placed on their backs. Peace I give to you, says Jesus. And now that you have it, you must go out and share it with the world. You must go out and set them free from the sin that has kept them down too long.